You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
The shadow brokers in the shadowy world of hybrid warfare. Is someone using seized Silk Road Bitcoin wallets to bid on leaked files? Election hacking worries persist and concerns about secret ballots appear. Some Tor users want to call a general strike against the anonymizing network, point-of-sale malware, and what to do about it. And a new Vossner round will revisit cyber arms control next month. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Monday, August 22, 2016. The security community continues to follow the Shadow Brokers incident with close attention. Speculation continues to point to Russian intelligence services as the source of the compromise, which is now generally regarded as genuine. One of those suggesting Russian involvement is Edward Snowden, who is, one recalls, still resident in Moscow. The Intercept reports finding strings in documents Edward Snowden took with him when he defected to Russia that are identical to some strings in the documents the shadow brokers have released, ostensibly as lost leaders for their auction. No further leaks have appeared, and so far no one has ponied up the $500 million the shadow brokers are somewhat implausibly asking for. There has been some bidding on the unreleased files, but nothing approaching the asking price. ZDNet reports seeing Bitcoin wallets seized from Silk Road in the bidding, which leads some to speculate that the U.S. government is in on the auction. The compromise has prompted considerable discussion of hybrid warfare, cyber deterrence, retaliation, and government disclosure policy. Those who have commented on disclosure policy see the incident as tipping the balance in favor of disclosure as opposed to hoarding. Other observers see tension in NSA's dual responsibility for SIGINT collection and for information assurance. We heard from Will Ackerley, CTO and co-founder of secure email solution provider Virtru. Noting that the shadow broker's leaked exploits affected firewalls, he commented that, quote, "most often data is stored on devices or transmitted without its own protections," end quote. Once an attacker is in your network, Ackerley says, the unprotected information there amounts to a sitting duck. He thinks the Shadow Brokers episode will accelerate movement away from network or device security and toward data security. Quote, "the ultimate goal is to protect data from inception and only unlock it during consumption," end quote. The Shadow Brokers incident also continues to stoke concerns about election hacking. Statements from U.S. election officials seek to reassure voters, but their efforts to do so seem to have achieved little beyond a mood of resignation. Observers point out that properly secured electronic voting may inevitably be in tension with voters' expectations of a secret ballot. Some users are calling for a general strike against Tor to protest the service's investigation and ouster of a high-profile Tor activist. The idea would be to take the anonymous service offline for a day. Journalist Jacob Applebaum, who had been an important participant in the Tor project, was removed from his position following the project's investigation of allegations of misconduct. Eddie Bauer, late last Thursday, disclosed a malware infestation in its point-of-sale system that exposed cards used in transactions between January 2nd and July 17th of this year. The infections appear to be part of the large campaign that's affected the hospitality industry. Chris Weber, security strategist at Centrify, sees the incident as a cautionary tale in the importance of securing privileged accounts. It's too easy to pivot from a single account and move through an entire network. Quote, "This is because that privileged account, often a systems administrator or service account, has deep access to everything inside a network." End quote. Weber advocates policies of least privileged access, tighter control over shared accounts, and more closely secured remote access. A growing trend has been the proliferation of malware as a service, providing those who are so inclined the opportunity to do their deeds at a much lower cost of entry, both financially and when it comes to technical skills. Michael Marriott is a research analyst at Digital Shadows, where they've been tracking the Deer.io marketplace.
So it's a one-stop shop that many cyber criminals use to advertise and sell their goods. For 8 rubles a month, which is under a dollar, you can get ready-made templates, secure hosting, anonymity, and payment processes to advertise and sell your goods. And we estimate, it's hard to be precise, but there are about 1,000 shops offering a variety of different goods and services on Deer.io.
And what kind of things are being sold here?
So there's a whole host of different services. There's the site that Tessa 88 was advertising. So these would be massive data dumps, such as the LinkedIn and MySpace ones. But there's also a lot of bot-registered social media accounts, which, although are not illegal, breach the terms and conditions of many sites. There's stolen and hacked accounts. There's dedicated servers. And then we also see, the more big cybercrime elements like DarkSide Global, which is Tessa's.
Is Deer.io, right out in the open? Can anybody just go start shopping around on this marketplace?
Sure, yeah. No, it's just on the surface web. They've got a great interface. You can use the search bar to search for particular items that you may want. And while it should be clear that Deer.io is not criminal in and of itself, what it's doing is just making it so much easier for these cyber criminals, which constitute about 99% of it is grey or black goods for sale.
And so this is a Russian language site. Do we know, is it actually being hosted in Russia? And if so, are the authorities simply turning a blind eye to it?
It's hosted, and there are a few different elements to that. It uses Foxility, which is, I believe, based in Romania. It has been shut down previously or blacklisted by the Russian internet monitoring authorities, if you will, for a brief period a couple of months ago. In Ukraine, a man was arrested for hosting a shop on one of these sites. But as I'm aware, there haven't been any prosecutions within Russia itself.
So what do you think this speaks to in terms of this trend that we're seeing of cybercrime as a service?
We've seen this before already with DDoS as a service, ransomware as a service. What I think is different about Deer.io is that all these support services that we see fragmented across various different places on the open, dark and deep web, they're all bundled together in one place. And this serves to lower the barriers to entry. It's this trade-off between OPSEC and advertising that deters many cyber criminals from going about their day-to-day business. How much do you advertise, get your name out there, become a media hit, and then through that, you get more and more business, but you've got the risk of overexposing yourself and leaving yourself vulnerable to competitors or law enforcement. And what this is doing is sort of taking that away. So if somebody's got some site they can pay very, very little money for to host, then actually they can sell things which are pretty low level, not that expensive, but those niggling illegal goods that previously it wouldn't have really been feasible to sell because of all the back-end hosting and templates, payments, etc. So I think that's a really important point to bring up.
That's Michael Marriott from Digital Shadows. In industry news, Cisco continues to reposition itself as a security provider. Dell talks about plans for SonicWall, and the aforementioned Virtru closes a $29 million Series A round led by Bessemer Capital. The next round of the Wassenaar Cyber Arms Control talks is scheduled for September. The talks are expected to narrow the scope of intrusion software that controls industry found objectionable. The Bureau of Industry and Security at the U.S. Department of Commerce withdrew its draft rule implementing the Wassenaar framework in 2015 after industry objections that the rule would essentially criminalize legitimate vulnerability research. A new draft rule is expected to be issued after the upcoming round of talks, probably in the spring of 2017. Finally, we're pleased to say that we have nothing whatsoever to say this afternoon about either Pokemon or the Incredible Hulk. Actually, we're a little sorry we don't have any more Hulk speak to share with you. Perhaps the Shadow Brokers will release some fresh communique and we'll hear more from Natalia Romanova. Did you know that the Shadow Broker is an information dealer in the Mass Effect video game? And why do threat actors like action role-playing so much? Maybe the question answers itself. In any case, Crash Bandicoot was unavailable for comment.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
And I'm joined once again by John Liesebauer. He's the CTO at Quintessence Labs, one of our academic and research partners. John, I know you wanted to share some information with our listeners about the standards when it comes to cryptographic and key management. What do we need to know about that?
Common standards help enable interoperability. You know, it's important, though, that the standards we use are properly defined, unambiguous, and vendor independent. There are standards for almost every technical field. For cryptography and key management, there are standards from organisations such as the IETF, OASIS, OSI, the IEEE, NIST, ANSI, the payment card industry, and plenty of others. There's no problem finding a standard in the cyber security world. Two of the more important interoperability-focused standards, though, for cryptography and key management would be PKSys 11, which is Public Key Cryptography Standard Number 11, and KMIP, or KMIP, the Key Management Interoperability Protocol. Both of these standards are currently managed by OASIS, the Organisation for the Advancement of Structured Information.
And so digging into those, I mean, how do we deal with them, and what part do they play in cryptography and security?
PKSys 11 is a standard for cryptographic application programming interface. It defines a vendor-independent API performing cryptographic operations such as encryption and digital signatures and also key generation. PCI 11 turned 25 this year, so it's quite an old standard. It was originally managed by RSA as an industry standard that moved to OASIS just over 3 years ago. P11 is widely used in cryptographic products, from smart cards to hardware security modules and database encryption to web servers. Similar standards to PKS11 would be Microsoft CNG or CAPI in the old days, the OpenSSL API and the Java JCE interface. In fact, both OpenSSL and JCE support cryptographic providers that present a PKS11 interface. The other standard I mentioned, KMIP, specifies a protocol for the exchange of key management messages between key management clients and servers. It specifies operations such as create, register, and get for objects like symmetric keys, key pairs, and certificates. It's a relatively new standard. It was first published in 2010.
All right, interesting stuff. John Lisabar, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. And now a word from our sponsor, Netskope. Netskope is a worldwide leader in SASE and Zero Trust. Its unified platform, Netskope One, provides optimized access and zero trust security for people, devices, and data anywhere they go, helping customers reduce risk, accelerate performance, and get unrivaled visibility into any cloud, web, and private application activity. To learn more about how Netskope helps customers be ready for anything on their SASE journey, visit netskope.com.